You are listening to WFOD, friend to the hip hop community.
Guys, welcome back. Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. What is this, Travis? Is this hour four?
This is hour five in the 12-hour marathon.
Yeah. Knocking them right out of the park, guys.
Yep. It's the 400th episode marathon. Guys, we have a very special guest from, he's a writer, editor. His new book, Emeralds of Oz, Life Lessons from Over the Rainbow. Peter Gazzardi is here. Peter, are you there, buddy?
Hi, Mike. It's so nice to be here.
I appreciate you joining us, Peter. The book, it comes out, is it May 8th or May 7th?
No, you're stealing a march on the rest of the public. It's coming out on the 14th, so you're on the early side of the curve.
I feel like a big shot, Peter, because I'm holding it in my hands right now. I got your book.
You should, Mike. Absolutely.
I got it a Friday. Your good people sent one over. It's a very pretty book. This book, the inside cover is like the Emerald Palace. It's neat looking. I like it.
It's got sparkles.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you've been an editor for a really long time. And so this is like your first solo outing, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've had a very blessed career in book publishing. I've edited Stephen Hawking, the astrophysicist. I edited A Brief History of Time. That was probably my biggest accomplishment. But I've worked with some amazing people, Carol Burnett, and many books with Deepak Chopra, Queen Noor, Arianna Huffington, Susan Cain. It's a wonderful list of Paula Poundstone, a wonderful list of people that I've worked with over the years.
Now, when you work on A Brief History in Time, is that kind of something that you can put out into the world and then people said, well, geez, we got to get this guy. This is the guy.
Yeah, in book publishing, you're as an editor, you're hot when your authors are hot. When you've got a book riding the bestseller list, then you're hot stuff. Might be a good time to go in for a raise.
So when you're working on this book, obviously Stephen Hawking, he probably had unique circumstances. Are you like sitting next to him and working on it with him or?
Sometimes. Yeah. I'll never forget the moment when I actually first met Stephen. I flew to Chicago. He was giving a lecture at the Fermi Institute, and I met him. I met him in the parking lot of a hotel. This young man gets out of a car, swings around to the trunk, unpacks this kind of wheelchair, puts a big battery in it. Then he goes over to the front seat, takes out this, what looks like kind of a life-size kind of broken human doll, and sets it into this chair. And puts a hand, puts Steven's hand on the knob control. And suddenly this wheelchair does like a 360 and across the parking lot. And I'm running behind him and I'm saying, is that Professor Hawking? And saying, yes, are you Peter Gazzotti? And I'm saying, yes. And said, follow us. And we go in and meet for the first time. It was an incredible experience.
I mean, obviously you're a bright guy. You've edit some great books and stuff, but are you intimidated when you, I mean, Stephen Hawking's kind of known as like one of the smartest people ever. So
yes. I mean, that wasn't the most intimidating thing. It was kind of not wanting to betray kind of shock maybe or surprise at looking at him. You know, he's quite compromised by his ALS.
Yeah.
To just be cool. That was my first and foremost. I looked at pictures of Stephen and kind of prepared myself. And that moment turned out to be actually quite extraordinary because he has these absolutely amazing eyes. And when you look into his eyes, like everything else melts away. It sounds like a love story, which maybe in some ways it was. But amazing eyes. And all of a sudden, you know, his disability falls away and you're in communication, in connection with this person. But really, I'm not a bright guy, Mike. I mean, that's kind of the interesting thing maybe about all this is that I kind of make a living by working with really smart people and asking them. It's kind of like what your sixth grade teacher told you, which is, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions.
Right.
You know, ask questions until you get it right, until you get the answer, right? Until you understand. And that's my job as I see it. I keep asking these smart people, I read their material, and then I say, Stephen, I still don't get it. You know, could you compare it to something in my kitchen? You know, can you compare it to something that I do every day?
So in a way, you're kind of the voice of the common man. You're kind of saying,
absolutely.
Say this in a way that people will understand what you're saying.
Right.
That's right. That's the object. My object is for me to understand it and to have it presented in an interesting way to me. And then I figure if it's interesting to me and I'm a regular guy, then it's going to be interesting to lots of people out there. And then we're going to have a book that's going to be successful.
So after decades and decades of editing and working on other people's projects, what was it that made this the one you wanted to make, that you wanted to put?
Well, it was a crazy moment, Mike. I was in order to, you know, essentially I go to New York a couple of times a year. I live in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I go to New York a couple of times a year in order to drum up business, right? To remind people that I'm still out here. Don't forget to send me projects when you need somebody to fix them. And I'm in this publisher's office and I look on his shelf and there is this beautiful kind of face out 75th anniversary edition of The Wizard of Oz. And there's this amazing picture of Judy Garland in that blue and white gingham frock with that kind of gaze of wonderment. And it must be the moment where she's stepping out into the land of Oz. And I look at this and I just have an epiphany. It was just like this moment where I suddenly had this thought, like I've rubbed elbows with all these incredibly wise, intelligent people and over 40 years in this business. But everything I learned from them was really right there in this film that I watched when I was 11 years old. And just like Dorothy, I just had to discover that for myself. Like Linda tells her at the end of the movie, you just had to find out for yourself.
Obviously the movie's been around forever. Everybody knows it. Do you think that people put their own, do you think that these nuggets of wisdom that you got from the movie were intentional? Or, I mean, like when I listen to a song, you know, sometimes a song can put me in a certain mindset, which maybe wasn't even intended.
That's a great point. I think the answer is probably yes and yes. I think there may be, is there objective wisdom in there? Sure. And yet, you know, it's like the preacher giving the sermon that he really needs to hear. You know, I think authors do that too. They write the books they really need to learn from. So of course my experience is embedded in this thing, and I'm going to see things in it that resonate with my life and things that I've learned. But I think I could also make a pretty good case that that although some of it might be unintentional, some of it was intentional in the creation of the film, and that either way, who cares?
Right.
It's there.
You got something from it, so good.
Absolutely. And it's stuff that you can use in your everyday life to make a difference. So I just think it's an incredibly exciting thing. I think it's true of any great work of art, right? I mean, this movie's been around for 80 years. This is the 80th anniversary, and people are still talking about it. Comedians online, it's still very much in the cultural zeitgeist, right? And so you have to ask yourself why, you know, why this film?
Yeah.
Why are we still talking? Why this novel?
It is kind of weird, like how some things break through. Like,
yeah,
like Moby Dick when it came out was a bomb, wasn't it? And then somehow, over time, Moby Dick became like this huge success, but it wasn't when it came out. And it,
agreed. And I think that, you know, it has to function on two levels. Like the novel or the film has to entertain, right? That's the first rule. It has to be entertaining. But if it's just entertainment, then it's going to be superficial and it'll be replaced by the next entertaining thing. Yeah. The thing that makes it durable, that makes it a classic, is that covered over by the entertainment or embedded in it is wisdom, is stuff that we can really learn from. That this book, this film addresses major themes in our lives, which are as absolutely relevant today as they were 80 years ago. Are you going to ask me what they are so I can shoot a couple at you?
Yeah. So there,
I know this is your fifth hour, Mike.
There's nine, right? There's nine.
There are nine. Yeah, but I'm thinking more about like the big themes, right? I'm thinking about, I mean, look at what this movie is about. You've watched it. So look at what it's about. It's about a little girl who is helpless at the beginning of the film, and she goes from helpless to being powerful
She's
and capable.
She's bummed out that the mean neighbor lady stole her dog.
Right, absolutely. So the trajectory from being helpless, I mean, can anyone here relate to being helpless to feeling helpless?
Don't we all
feel that way a lot every day?
Yeah.
So aren't you interested in how we make, how Dorothy made and how you and I can make the trip, the journey from feeling helpless to feeling capable and powerful, like we've got air under our wings? Look at the other things that Dorothy's dealing with. One of the major themes in the film is disappointment, right? With authority, with people in authority. Dorothy gets let down by her aunt and uncle. And this mean lady comes and snatches her dog. And she's going to be disappointed again in The Wizard of Oz. So how do we deal with disappointment? How do we deal with what happens when we give our power away to people in authority? And what about the theme of illusion? You know, that things are not as they appear to be. And what happens when we pull back the curtain and look at the truth? The theme of we already possess, you and I already possess what we desire most. We just don't know it yet. Or we might, but the whole trajectory, our journey is to become aware that we already possess it. You know, like the Tin Man, who really does have a huge heart. You know, like the Scarecrow, who's actually incredibly smart and insightful. You know, like the Cowardly Lion, who actually comes through in the end and saves the day. You and I might have really profound misunderstandings about who we are and what it is that we really desire. And they're probably falling along similar lines where we have what it is that we desire. You're much braver. If my issue is bravery, I'm much braver than I realize.
Right. You walk into a room and you say, I'm the cowardly guy. I mean, it's in my name. I'm cowardly guy.
The cowardly guy. But in fact, take a closer look and you'll find that that's illusion. That's a mistake. And that's one of the emeralds is pull back the curtain and look at the truth. And my kind of the case I make is that Dorothy begins at the beginning of the movie, she begins, she takes this journey on the Yellow Brick Road, and along the way, she learns 9 big lessons. And these lessons transform her. And that's true of any great work of art or fiction, any great film. The characters change during the course of events. And that's very true in this particular one as well.
Do you feel, though, that we're able to actually get to that point of, like, self-realization unless we actually get to that point where we can pull back the curtain of this giant wizard we've been trying to find the entire time, right? Doesn't it take that moment to get us to understand that? Do you feel like analyzing her journey can kind of make us realize that before we get to the point where we peel back that curtain?
Is that a procrastination thing?
Absolutely. I think that's exactly right. I think that Dorothy needed to go through what she went through in order to be able to have Toto, who in fact pulled back the curtain, in order for that event to transpire, Dorothy had to go through what she had been through to that point. She had to do what is up to that point, 6 emeralds. And the very first one, for example, is listen to your longing. So you, Mike, might be confused about an issue in your life. And I feel lost and confused. I'm a first child, right? So my first kind of instinct in any situation is to take care of other people, to think about them, to worry about them, like, are you okay? Are you happy? Are you getting what you need? And I'm not really great at checking in with myself about what I need. So the first emerald is a fantastic place to start in any when you're facing any issue in your life, because it brings you back to yourself. Not in a selfish way, not like me, 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 but let me check in with myself. What do I need in the situation? What do I want? And then let me go deeper into this. What do I long for?
Stigma about just being selfish. I think it's actually pretty healthy to be selfish to a degree.
Yes. Yeah, you have to take care of yourself first, right? You got to put that oxygen mask on yourself if you're going to take care of the child next to you.
Or maybe selfish-ish, Matt. Maybe not like full-on selfish.
Well, yeah. I mean.
Well, okay, but if you do this, if you, Mike, are ask yourself in a given situation, think of something that you're grappling with in your life. Ask yourself, not just to what do I need? What do I want? Okay, that's good. That's important. But what do I long for? Ooh. Like deep inside myself, what do I long to have happen in this situation? And this is a conversation with your vulnerable self, right? This isn't Mike the tough macho guy. This is vulnerable Mike. This is genuine.
That's right,
Mike.
You need to put macho Mike away.
Yeah, so you got to do that. And you will. When you ask this question, all of that falls away. What do I long for? So that's the first emerald. And I think it's enormously grounding.
I hadn't really thought about it before, Peter, but actually now I'm kind of longing to be like way more macho. Matt just said that sarcastically, and I'm sure everyone got it. And now I'm bummed out about that. Now,
Mike, I'm going to send you a tap out shirt. Okay.
Yeah, I need some fingerless gloves. Is what I need.
You know, we're sitting here, we're discussing this Wizard of Oz and the knowledge that you can gain from it, and you're talking about the 9 emeralds. And yeah. I've never really noticed this before, but like looking at the Wizard of Oz through this lens, it really makes it feel like a mirror image of Dante's Inferno.
Tell me more.
Well, you know, Dante is going through like the 9 circles of hell to try to get to like the end and to try to complete his journey, right? And along the way, he's taking all this information and he's learning things about himself and how to defeat this next level. And I feel like, you know, the way that you're describing the Wizard of Oz, we're kind of following that same journey with these 9 emeralds that you've
that
you found. That
is brilliant. Where were you when I was writing this book? That's great. I love it. In a way, you could use that emerald, for example, just by itself, right, to help you kind of orient yourself. But they work particularly well one after the other. So if you can get to a place where you kind of know what they are, and I've got like a little cheat sheet on my website, like a little postcard that's got them all in one place. When you know what they are, you can just quickly run through them, which is what I did recently when I was I had an audition for a choir, right? And it sounds silly, but I love to sing, And I was in the parking lot. It was 8:30 at night, and I was really nervous about it. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, I'm going to go in there, and my voice is going to squeak, and this choir director is going to look at me like, what rock did you just crawl out from under? And I'm just going to have to slink home. And then I thought, wait a sec, you're the author of a book that has 9 emeralds of wisdom. Why don't you use them? So I just ran through the 9 in my head, and by the end of them, I just felt like, yeah, man, I got this. And I just went in there. And I sang a Crazy Love by Van Morrison to this choir director. And by the end of this song, he just kind of looked at me and he said, you're a tenor too. And the first rehearsal is on Tuesday.
So,
it works.
Guys, the book is Emeralds of Oz, Life Lessons from Over the Rainbow. It's Peter Gazzardi, his book. It comes out in a couple of weeks. You get it on petergazzardi.com. You follow Peter on Twitter at petergazzardi. That's 2 Z's. I'm sure it's going to be on Amazon too. Pick up a copy, give it to somebody who you think needs it. Read it yourself.
Mom, Mother's Day, Mike.
Give it to mom.
Perfect weekend.
You know what I'm saying, Travis? Peter, we appreciate you hanging out with us for a bit. The WFOD 400 marathon. You helped us out a great deal. We got a good little rest there.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. Good luck with the rest of it. You're a trooper. You're a trooper.
I appreciate thanks, Peter. Peter. You take care. Good luck with the book. We may we'll do it
thanks,
next time.
Thanks, guys.
Take it.
Appreciate it.
Travis, I like Peter.
Yeah, me too.
Peter seems like a nice guy. The book, it's like a self-help book, but it's like through the scope of The Wizard of Oz. It's kind of like the self-help Ready Player One. You know?
Please elaborate on that.
Well, like, you know, it's telling a story with other stories, right?
Oh, yeah, okay. I mean? Yeah, sure.
It's like, you know, hey, this is this original story we're going to tell, but Freddy Krueger's there.
Yeah, he's just hanging out in the background. He's helping us propel our hero's journey.
That makes sense, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it does. I just needed to hear you explain it, and I got it right away.
Mike.
What, Matt?
Country House won the Kentucky Derby.
Country House?
Yeah. His odds were 65-1.
Ooh.
A $2 bet would have won you $132.
Oh, somebody made some money today.
Yeah.
You think somebody did?
Yeah, it wasn't Matt, though.
No.
You didn't have anything on Country House,
oh,
Matt?
No. He was the 20th horse in the field of 20 horses, and he came in first. Oof.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah.
Is that a weird question to ask a man? You're smart, but are you intimidated when other smart people are there?
Not at all.
I don't think so.
No, because it's been the long unwritten rule, or maybe it is a written rule, is that you are supposed to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you so they can propel you forward, right? So they better you can like better yourself.
Yeah, like that's all of my friends are more successful than I am.
Well, and that's why I don't have any friends, because I've yet to find anybody.
Yeah, I'm the runt of the litter, Travis. All of my friends are successful guys, and I'm a fool with a podcast.
Well, that's good. That should be, like, drive you, right, to be better.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Just sit and be, like, spiteful.
Yeah,
about
I'm just
their
like,
success.
Well, what's so special about them? Why are they doing so good, you know? That's probably the wrong way to look. You know, Travis.
It's a little negative. It's a little negative. I think you need to readjust your perspective.
I tend to skew negative, Matt, and I'm working on it.
Well, you know, I mean, are you, though?
I am, I think. I don't know. Maybe.
What?
Matt, I don't know if you know this about me, but,
okay.
But I love music lawsuits. Have I told you that about me, guys? It's something that I really, really like. I like it when a musician sues another musician. And there was another one the other day.
Oh, the hits keep coming with these things.
I know. It seems like they keep happening. It's almost like, you know, music is subjective and there's millions and billions of songs out there, and they're bound to somewhat sound similar. It's almost like that, but maybe not, right?
Right.
Are you familiar with Travis Scott? Travis?
Yeah.
I know the name sounds familiar, but I don't
think
he was at the Super Bowl, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a hip hop man.
Yeah, he also plays drums for Blink 182.
No, that's Travis Barker. He was in a plane crash. Man, Travis Scott. He's a hip hop man, and he has a song called "No Bystanders." I should have played this for Peter Gazzardi. He probably really.
Oh, is
it.
He taught "No Bystander"? Is he talking about dropping everybody that's a witness?
It's art, this. And see, like, that came out, and somebody said, that masterpiece sounds very similar to my song. It was the guy from the 3-6 Mafia, Travis. Do you remember the 3-6 Mafia?
Fucking A.
I think they won a Grammy. Didn't they?
The 3-6 Mafia? What was the 3-6 Mafia?
They won an Oscar for the Hustle and Flow soundtrack, I think. I think they're Oscar winners, the 3-6 Mafia. They have a song called Tear the Club Up. And this is the chorus from that song.
Oh, yeah, that's the exact same song. Fuck your club up.
Do you notice a similarity, Travis?
Oh, yeah, like the entire thing is a copy.
It does sound very similar, right?
Yeah, it's the same beat,
but
three words about the club.
Could you make the argument that is just pretty normal thing to say and... there's no real artistic venture there. You know what I mean? I mean, like, that was just saying a word a bunch of times.
Well, right. Hey, listen, if you are going to, like, steal somebody's song, it should definitely be from a band who has such hits as Slob on My Knob and Mafia, you know, N-word.
Mafia N-word?
You're listening to Strange Label, the finest in internet radio.
StrangeLabel.com.
This has gone on for days. How do we stop it?
I'm afraid we can't. All we can do is pray that the Mecha Schumer doesn't come this way and ruin everything we love.
Oh no, you spoke too soon! Here it comes! Run, Lenny! Run!
Ain't no use running. I'm tired of running.
But Lenny, the jokes are worse than the destruction! We have to run!
It's all shit anyway! Let's just get it over with!
She's right on top of us, Lenny!
Rawr. My pussy smells like rusty nails, even when I'm not on my period. Rawr. I'm such a whore. My pussy is like throwing a hot dog down an elevator shaft.
Ah! 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 You're so funny and original! Ah! 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 It's working! Try it with me next time.
Rawr. Want to hear me queef? It sounds like the whoosh when you send an email.
Ha! 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 Man, that was so funny! Ha! 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 By God, it's working.
We have to warn the others!
No! No, the others are on their own on this one. If everyone is woke, no one is woke. The Mecha Schumer must be fed.
Rawr. Why are you haters body shaming me? It's because I'm a woman, right?
What's that smell?
WFOD.
Travis?
Hour eight, baby.
Wow. Guys, if you're just joining us, this is the 12-hour spectacular for WFOD 400. Full house, me, Travis, drunk, Matt, and we're joined by a special guest, right, Travis? We're joined by a special guest.
We have a very special guest on the line.
Travis, my first podcast friend.
Your very first?
Yes. My first podcast friend. We started a podcast. We were doing Twitter. And I met a young gentleman with fire in his eyes putting out a podcast called Pod Cheese. Me and Benny, we exchanged long-form emails back and forth. Talking about our craft, you know what I'm saying?
Long form emails?
Yes, yes. We
talking about craft dinner.
We were saying, you know, like you know, the reason you do this is 'cause you love it, you know, and stuff like that.
Oh no. I would love to read some of those Mike.
Yeah, did you save these?
I'm sure I still have them. Sure. Yeah, we were passionate about
the Benny. I do it for the craft.
Guys, Benny Michaels from Pod Cheese is here. Guys, Benny, hi.
Hey, I'm back, baby.
Hey, you guys want to hear a funny story?
Yes.
I used to work with this old guy, and one time he
That's
went
weird.
Out on leave to have a surgery, and it was a pretty intensive surgery. So he was out for a few months, and when he came back to work, his first morning back, he came into the office we were all sitting in, and he came busting through the door and was like, "I'm back, baby!" And we all just turned around, and stared at him, and said nothing. And he was just kind of standing in the doorway.
He was hoping
with
for
his...
a big pop. He probably
yeah,
thought
I guess
about
he was
that.
Waiting for a big reception. And yeah!
You did it, man. You beat it.
For months, he thought he'd make that grand entrance right. And everybody would just drop everything and start clapping.
Yeah, instead he had his fists raised triumphantly to silence.
Right. And you guys
and
just
kind of sat
him,
down
your
in
hands
chair
in your pockets.
And... Yeah. Just got back to work.
Yeah. Went and sat down in a chair.
Benny, you moved out to the woods.
Yeah, man. I'm country folk now.
You really? Grew a beard. You moved out to the woods.
I did. Yeah. I've disconnected. Well, not fully. I still have an Instagram, but yeah, I'm pretty much a, yeah, I moved. I like it out here, man. It's
what
cool.
did you, where'd you, do you, can you tell?
Well, I certainly don't want to dox myself. I'm certainly not so disconnected. I don't know what doxing is.
Right. Right.
So at least give us the last four of your social security then.
Yeah, it's cool, man. You know, I live like in driving distance, about 7 minutes away from Josh, the guy I do Pod Cheese with.
Oh.
So has he always lived in the woods?
Well, his neighborhood's, he lives in kind of like a suburban, more suburban neighborhood than I do. Yeah. Not like I'm completely out there. I mean, I live in a neighborhood.
You still got like Comcast.
Yeah. I'm not like a mountain man or anything.
But you post Instagram videos of like you walking your dog through the woods and stuff. And it's like, wow, Benny's really out there. He's in there.
I am.
What inspired that?
Nothing that's going to be too terribly interesting.
Okay.
But
he wanted to get away from it all, Matt. He wanted to get away from the hustle and bustle.
Exactly. There's nothing that I could really say that's not going to sound corny, like to get away from the hustle and bustle. But that's pretty much it.
You know? I like woods and neighbors far away. Like
yeah,
I wish you ended it there. I like woods.
I like people not up my ass when I like walk out my front door. It's great.
Yeah, I can set up massive fires in my backyard. The township Hell yeah. doesn't come by. People shoot guns and stuff.
You can take a piss off your deck.
I could do that.
Oh, I got neighbors and I do that shit anyway, so.
Drunk.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
I'm very well on yourself.
Pretty good.
That's good.
He lives out in the woods, drunk. He's back, baby.
Yeah, can you at least like name the state that you're in, or?
I'm in Pennsylvania.
Ah. Drinking that Yingling in Pennsylvania.
So everyone's feeling good?
No.
Tired. You guys want some advice? You know what you guys should do to keep your energy up?
Quit.
It's drink caffeine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
That's a good, helpful suggestion.
Benny, have you considered writing like a self help book?
I've just been chewing on this melatonin.
Yeah. Why is this valerian root here?
It's like fuck. It's like candies, right?
You guys talk to a self help guy, right?
Probably several over the years. Or do you
mean
tonight?
Tonight, though, right?
Yeah, Peter Gazzardi.
Yeah, he wrote a book.
Mike already forgot that happened.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, is it a self-help book? Good. I mean, it's kind of a self-help book, Benny. He wrote a book that's like a advice through the scope of The Wizard of Oz is what he wrote. I'll give you one of the tips. Keep an eye out for the law of unintended consequences. Pretty good, right?
Yeah. It was the Wizard of Oz.
I like the premise was basically just watch Wizard of Oz and apply that to your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is.
I'm going to read that book to Pink Floyd's The Wall.
So, Benny,
yeah.
Buddy, I have a game. Do you want to play a game with the boys?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with former basketball player Shaquille O'Neal.
Of course.
But Shaquille O'Neal, he's retired now. But he keeps.
We say special needs now. We don't use that word anymore.
retired?
Oh, sorry.
He did it again.
I misheard you. I've got a bad connection out here in these woods. Oh, she said something else.
Can't hear you over all the wood you're chopping.
Right.
Benny, do you like having a beard? Is it
yeah,
nice?
But you know what? It's at the length now that I feel like I don't really know what to do with it anymore. Like when it was like only like it was still relatively short, I could take like clippers to it.
It's kind of hard to like know
what I was doing, but I don't really know what to do now.
It's kind of hard to know when it's too much.
I can tell you that I know when it's too much is when I eat like a messy hamburger that's got a bunch of extra shit on it. Yeah. And I have to use 42 napkins to clean my face after every single bite.
And it's kind of like a bib. It stays out of off your shirt.
Oh, yeah. But then, yeah, like if you're eating like one of those, like what I don't know what they're called everywhere, but like a hangover burger that's got like a fried egg with a yolk on it and all that shit. And it like drips in there and immediately hardens to your fucking face hair. That's
sometimes everyday practices like blowing your nose can get a little gross.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know what to do with it now. Like, I don't want to cut it. I guess I just got to let it grow. But you know, I apply oils to it and such.
You do the oils?
Yeah.
Oh you're wow. a real beard man.
Yeah, I that's is it. It's a pretty long beard. No, or just
nah. It's it, no. Nah, it would. I have a beard envy. You know what I mean? I don't like to call it beard envy, though. I call it beard respect. You know,
that makes sense.
When I see someone that's got like a much better beard than mine, I'm not too shy to go say, "Hey, man, that's a nice beard."
That's a hell of a beard. You
go around complimenting people on their beards.
Yes,
just randoms.
You have, you know, I found that
that just makes you an angry and bitter person.
And I find that you have to have a beard to be able to do that, because if a clean shaven man comes up to a bearded man and says, "Hey, nice beard," there's something creepy about that.
Yeah.
So beard respect beard.
Yeah, exactly.
Beard game strong. Yeah.
So would you call what I have growing on my face a beard?
Yeah, no, and I wouldn't call what I call I have a beard either. I just kind of have.
You're close to a beard.
I just have like hair on my face that I'm too lazy to shave off. Yeah.
Drunk has a pretty decent beard, or did at one time, right? I've seen a recent picture of Drunk.
It's patchy is the deal.
Yeah, I would call Drunk unkempt. I wouldn't call him necessarily. It's not like a, I mean, like what you got, Benny, you got a fucking beard, man. Me and Drunk have,
I want to see a picture of this beard.
You got like, say your plane went down and you got like capsized on like a, or you like went down in like a desert island. Your beard right now.
Not
like,
sure
what,
if planes capsize.
Yeah, that's why I changed. Yeah. say your plane crashed into the water and then capsized on an island.
There you go.
A desert still?
Yeah, desert island.
Then he swam to it, right? After
how long
the boat
did it take
capsized?
Them to rescue you? Like, what's your beard at?
Say your plane gets a flat.
I'm confused if we're in a desert, the water.
Say you're in a desert and your train derails.
On I-495? I don't
into know. An island.
Benny, some shit went down. You were en route somewhere and something happened. You ended up on an island you weren't expecting to be in.
Is this the Shaquille O'Neal game?
We're getting to it. This is the roundabout way to Shaquille O'Neal.
So, Benny,
plane threw a shoe.
How long before someone rescued me?
Yeah, like, how's your beard? Like, how long did it grow on that island before somebody rescued you?
Weird way to get there.
Like, if I had like a pair of clippers and an electrical outlet on this island, you know.
Okay, say you were on the island and you use scissors on your beard just once a week.
Wouldn't he have like clippers or something in his carry-on probably?
In my travel bag, yeah.
Yeah, but the batteries would run out eventually.
Or somebody in the capsized plane. I mean, he has access to all of that.
Well, no, the capsized plane is now it's in the ocean.
So
yeah,
Benny,
something makes me think like on Lost, they were still using power from the fuselage. Maybe an outlet or something.
Shaquille O'Neal
have a fuselage.
Benny. Shaquille O'Neal, he advertises a lot of products. He's a spokesman for a whole lot of things. We've played this game before, so this is all. Nobody is at an advantage here. These are all new things. It's a game called What Won't Shaquille O'Neal Promote?
He has a sneaker line through Walmart, which is not the coolest of sneaker 15-time lines.
15-time NBA player. All-Star Shaquille O'Neal has lended his likeness to many reputable brands over his illustrious career. Whether it be Ego headphones, glucose quick sticks, which are essentially pixie sticks marketed towards diabetics, and of course, the Soup Nazi from Seinfeld's line of Soupman soups. But the question America has is, what won't Shaquille O'Neal promote?
So five rounds for What Won't Shaquille O'Neal Promote?
I gotta say, Mike, you have the voice of an angel.
Thanks, Drunk. How the game works? I'm going to tell you guys a product, and you tell me if Shaquille O'Neal has promoted it. If I can pull audio of Shaquille O'Neal promoting this product. So the first one up recently. In the news for racist remarks, guys.
Oh, no.
Papa John's Pizza. Does Shaquille O'Neal promote Papa John's Pizza, Guy?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he does.
Yes.
Bring out the pizza. There we go. So tell us all about this.
Well, I've been named as an official board member of Papa John's.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. The first African-American member that's, you know, been asked to join the board. Because, listen, everyone loves pizza, and pizza loves everyone.
Yeah, that is true. Oh,
wow. That's profound right there.
Yeah.
Is that Old Dirty Bastard?
No, that is Shaquille O'Neal, Benny.
Sounded like Old Dirty Bastard.
He's in the Wu-Tang Clan.
He was before he died.
Yeah. Guys, round two of What Won't Shaquille O'Neal Promote? You guys remember former WFOD guest Joe Exotic?
Of course.
Absolutely. One of my favorite guests.
Joe Exotic runs a zoo in, is it Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
Travis?
Yeah. Really honest stand-up guy.
Just a good guy.
I don't think he would ever, like, hurt anybody or try to have anybody hurt.
Yeah. No, and he's always really good with the animals, and yeah. I think he could be, you know, he could be the governor of Oklahoma.
So I know this is insanely specific, Travis, but did Shaquille O'Neal promote Joe Exotic's Tiger Zoo?
His Tiger Zoo?
I'm gonna be the contrarian and say no, he did not.
No, he did not. Obviously, Benny's never played this game before. Drunk?
Yes, he did.
I was going to say, it is strangely specific, so I'm going to stick with Benny and say no.
Travis?
Yes?
Yes?
Yeah.
This is a tiger mom and a liger. I'm a tiger dad and a liger mom.
Yeah. Shut. You're my main man, Joe.
Oh, my God.
I got a bigger one in the front yard if you want to play with it.
Shaquille O'Neal does own stake in Joe Exotic's Tiger Zoo, Travis.
How did we not know this?
He has adopted several of the young tiger cubs. So let's see. Travis is at zero. Benny said no, too, didn't he?
No, I said yes.
Travis said yes. Everybody else said no.
Contrarian.
I said yes.
We can't all say yes.
So
how did you wait till hour 8 of this thing to tell me this? Like, I know it was part of the game, but
Travis, buddy, I've spaced out the zingers throughout the night. I'm not gonna
wait till you see what he's got for you at hour 11.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Knock your socks off,
guys. I've lost track of the score. Everybody got the first one right. Who got this one wrong?
Me and Drunk got it right.
You got it right?
Yeah, Benny and I, unfortunately.
So Benny and Matt are at zero. Drunk and Travis are at two. Guys, the next one, Carnival Cruises. Does Shaquille O'Neal promote Carnival Cruises?
Yes.
Ben?
Yes.
Yes. Drunk?
You betcha.
Yeah.
And Matt.
Sandy.
Guys, of course Shaq.
When you choose fun, it's like a party you never want to stop starting. A shot you never want to stop calling. Swish.
Swish?
A root beer you never want to stop floating. A splish you never want to stop splashing.
Okay.
A friend you never want to stop greeting. Because once you choose fun, you never want to stop. Carnival. Choose fun.
I want to go on a cruise.
No, I would never.
You think it would be fun?
Fuck.
You wouldn't want to go on a cruise, truck?
Absolutely not.
It would have to be like one of the specific ones. Like
I want to go on the Impractical Jokers cruise.
Yeah, go on a cruise that's themed in some way.
You know, so that, you have that like-minded their Flogging people. Molly's got a cruise.
A Flogging Molly cruise?
Yeah, and they get a lot of great bands to play with them.
I'd be that drunk asshole that falls off the side and nobody knows.
I don't think you can fall off the side.
People fall off the side all the time. Usually it's spouses killing their significant other.
I think that's being thrown off the side. I think they're equipped to keep people from falling off the sides.
I can hear you falling in the ocean tonight, my spouse.
Not to mention there's like two or three a year that they just stop working in the middle of the ocean and then the
But those are those low rent ones. Like that's, you know, it's like Happy Cruises or something.
If I were to do a cruise, it'd have to be a river cruise. That way, I could swim to the bank very quickly.
Hey, Mike, can I ask a quick question? Because I gotta get going soon. Where I have an engagement with my missus.
Well, be sure to pack a Clippers with you just in case, Benny.
I had sent you a text email.
Oh no.
In regard, not a text email. That sounded really.
What does that mean?
Well, I live in the woods.
What are you 90, Benny?
I know you're disconnected, Benny. But
in regards to a newly published book that an author had written.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and you replied back. I thought it was funny. I wanted to share that with you because I thought we were of similar minds.
Uh huh.
And you replied back and said, "Are you making fun of me?"
Well, Benny, the week that you sent that, we had just interviewed a author.
Okay.
And
you guys often interview authors.
Well, this author, I thought that you were making a joke that the author that we had on was a goofy guest to have on. I thought that's what the joke was.
Oh. Well, God forbid I say something like that, but no,
I realized that afterwards. Benny, I don't know if you know this about me, but I tend to react quickly.
I do.
I'm a shoot first and
his
ask
head
questions
goes
later
right
kind of
to the bat,
and it's always got to be about him. So,
oh yeah, yeah, no, yeah.
Well, I don't even think that you gave this book a chance.
It can't even be just his buddy Benny suggesting a cool book to him. It has to be. Are you slighting me somehow?
I mean, there's no self-esteem help through the Tin Man in the eyes of the lion, but I mean, I thought it was.
You and Chadman, really.
Benny,
I want to know what this book is.
Has Shaquille O'Neal ever advertised for a bail bondsman?
Yes.
Bail bondsman. A drunk bail bondsman?
Oh, you know he did.
Travis?
Oh, yeah. Shaq Attack, baby.
Of course he did.
Threw one in there on you guys.
How dare you?
For the first time in the history of what won't Shaquille O'Neal promote, the answer is no. He does not.
I am actually shocked by that.
That's because a bail bondsman hasn't approached him yet.
Yeah, yeah. And guys, the final one, and then we can talk about this book. I would need to know more about this book. Has Shaquille O'Neal ever advertised for an online beard oil site?
You better believe it.
Benny.
Yes.
Everybody's saying yes on
this. Well, I feel I got burned by that bail bondsman, so I'm going to have to say no.
Travis.
I'm going to say no, too. He ain't got no beard.
Matt?
Yes, he has.
He has?
Yeah.
Beer Mojo, Beer Mojo, Beer Mojo. Still going.
I was just playing.
Don't be like Young Shaq. Get your mojo at ageofbeer.com. Can you dig it?
Wow.
I've never seen no beard on no Shaquille O'Neal.
And that's it. That's what won't Shaquille O'Neal promote? Drunk one, 3-1 to -1. So
congratulations, sir.
Congratulations.
Hey, that's 2 in a row.
So Benny, the book, I mean, it was a bit, right? Is it all a bit, Benny?
You know, I'll tell you what. I think that's a conversation for another time, but I'd like to talk to you about that off air and maybe set something up. I bet you I could get some people to tune in. It would be an engagement.
Yeah,
let's do that.
It would be a special engagement.
When are we going to get more pod cheese, Benny?
I don't know, man. That came up not too long ago. I'm on the fence whether or not I want to continue. Josh says he wants to. And now, one of the problems we had was when he moved, we lived a good distance apart. But now we live like minutes apart, and he wants to keep doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, you got to get to 400, so.
Yeah. Catch up, buddy.
I'm still in double digits. I've been doing it maybe
still on 14.
Thanks for being a part of our special day.
400 episodes.
Thanks, Benny.
I'm gonna look into my emails and find some of our old ones and read them aloud so that people know how seriously we used to take this.
Oh God, well, I'm definitely hanging up. And never calling it again and hanging myself.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. We appreciate you hanging out. We'll see you soon.
Later, guys.
Thanks, Benny. And that's it, guys. More from our celebration for WFOD 400. If you tuned in, we appreciate it. And if you're listening now, thanks to you, too. There's a lot of content to sift through, and I imagine you'll want to hear more as the day went on. Thanks to all the folks who guested: Sean Freeman, Davian Dent, Jim Chadman, Peter Gazzardi, Mark Natalie, John Fallon, Dan Fernicase, Mandy Weaver, Benny Michaels, B. Rob, Brian Kranz, Jody B., and Uncle Hall. It was a lot of fun. We pulled off something that meant a lot to us, guys. We didn't know if it would work out, and it ended up being pretty great. So stay tuned. We are going to share more from it. We'll be releasing new episodes twice a week while we work through it all. The best way to make sure you don't miss one is to subscribe. Click the button so you're alerted when we post. Leave a review, tell a friend. You can also listen live every Tuesday night on strangelabel.com. There's other programs on that network as well, all of which are worth checking out. You can interact with us via phone, 636-487-HAM. That's when we're live or when we're not. Via email, you can get a hold of any of us, Mike, Travis, or Drunk at WFODix.com. On social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, we're at WFODix. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Liquid Lozenge, Valerie, and Brian Kranz. If you'd like to contribute, patreon.com/WFODix. 20 minutes of bonus content for as little as $1 a month. We'll be back later on this week, guys. We appreciate all of you. See you next time. Thank you and goodbye. Kind of late. Nobody cares when you're gone. When you're gone. Thank you.
lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.